Hi, everyone. It's Shelley G. And we are here in a secret location with Oh My Darling. They're here and they're going to do a show tonight. But we've managed to hijack them for about an hour. And we're going to talk to them and see what all the fuss is about. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'm glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
Oh My Darling is based out of Winnipeg, Manitoba. It consists of four very talented women. They are Vanessa Cousina, vocals and guitar, Marie-Josée Dandeneau, Alison de Groot, and Alison is a clawhammer banjo. Marie-Josée is upright bass, and Roslyn Dennett on the fiddle. Before you guys actually became Oh My Darling, you were really established musicians in your own right.
Yeah, we all were doing different projects and pursuing our music in our own way. And 4 years ago, we came together out of a winter jam session in Winnipeg. And we've been the same four gals and traveling around and being Oh My Darling together.
You play old time Appalachian, but it's sort of morphed, hasn't it? A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we started the band, it was kind of the idea that we would start an old time group. And we quickly realized that it wasn't going to stay as a traditional group. And everybody had such diverse kind of musical interests that kind of grew from there.
Alison, you were the brainchild of the band,
is that right? I had been playing music with Vanessa and a bit with MJ as well. And I was getting really into the old time style just because of the nature of clawhammer banjo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for other people to share that music with.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found Roslyn, who was also into traditional music, not as much the old time, but quickly kind of picked up that style and became very passionate about it. I mean, everybody enjoys that music. It's not everybody's first and foremost like type of music that they play, but we're all interested in it as well as many other types of music.
Yeah. Now, I understand that you were traveling to the States in that area of Appalachians to study the culture and that kind of music. Now, did you do that before all of you guys got together, or did you do it after?
I started before. I mean, playing in Winnipeg, there wasn't even really anybody who played old-time fiddle.
Oh.
So I was kind of interested in going down to the States. I went to a couple banjo camps. I know that makes me sound really nerdy, but I went down to a couple camps, one in Colorado and one in Seattle.
Yeah.
And then found out about this festival in West Virginia that I went to prior to the band starting, and then Roslyn's been back twice there, and that's been a huge part of where we collect tunes from and bring them back to the band.
Can you describe a little bit of the Appalachian culture, you know, where that music is sort of born? What did you discover down there in terms of that?
Well, I mean, the caliber of musicianship is just incredible. It's so many people that have played this music since they were born. It's just very much revolved. It's like it's such a social event. People, you play tunes, you talk, you tell stories. Like storytelling is a big part of that tradition.
I love the storytelling part. Mm-hmm. I love stories. You play clawhammer banjo. Do you ever play the bluegrass style?
I started on Scruggs style. I did it for about a year, but I heard there's a banjo player from Winnipeg who's in a band called The Ducks, Leonard Fedolic, and I heard him play, and as soon as I had heard his style, I knew that's what I wanted to do, so I kind of never looked back with the Scruggs, but I would love to pick that up again in the future.
You would, eh? Roslyn, you're a fiddle player. You started out as a violinist.
No, and I didn't have any real classical training. Didn't quite have the discipline growing up to do classical music. But but I was surrounded with a lot of fiddle music growing up, and started with kind of old time Canadian, which is very different from old time Appalachian. But then started playing a lot of Irish traditional music, and then kind of moved on from there.
What's the difference between a violin and a fiddle?
Only what you call it.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's good to know, because I noted that Itzhak Perlman refers to his Strad as a fiddle.
A fiddle, of course.
I just about fell on the floor when I heard that. That's really good. Yeah. You've done a bit of traveling and sort of soaking up the music as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been to, is it Ireland, Galway?
Yeah, Galway. Yeah, I spent a year. Yeah, just after I graduated high school, I went and spent a year in Galway and studied with a fiddle player there named Jesse Smith for a year, which was fantastic.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And did you have any real notion of Irish style playing?
Yeah, I'd grown up a member of the Irish Cultural Association in Winnipeg. So I was, since I was very, very young, I was just really, really involved in the culture. You know, I did Irish dancing growing up and all that kind of
did
stuff.
You, really?
And, oh, yeah. So yeah, when I graduated from high school, that was number one on my list of things to do, was to go visit there.
And just soak up all that music and, and stuff like that. And then, of course, you travel to the States for this Appalachian-style music as well.
Yeah, but after meeting Allison, she's the one that introduced me to old-time American music. And so, and I just, Allison kind of mentioned, I pretty much became obsessed with it after that. And so, yeah, since then, we've been making kind of yearly pilgrimages down to the States at least once a year.
Wow. And I also read that you were in northern Manitoba to sort of immerse yourself in the Métis culture for fiddle playing.
Yeah, I did a bunch of teaching for the Frontier School Division there, and that's the school division that has a lot of schools on reserves up in northern Manitoba, rural Manitoba. So yeah, that was a wonderful cultural experience that I got to be a part of, and it was really interesting.
Can you tell me some of the highlights of the things that you've done on a cultural level that affect your music? Yeah. These are pretty extreme places, from northern Manitoba to the Appalachian area, you know, to Ireland, for heaven's sakes.
I think the overwhelming connection between all those places is something that Allison touched on, which is the community and the kind of culture surrounding the music that's so community-based. It's all about getting together with friends and family, sitting down, playing tunes, having fun. You know, you're visiting, you're having conversation, you're catching up, and it's all done while you're playing music together. Yeah, and I would say that definitely the tie that I can see between all those different places.
Is that right, the similarity? Do you mind if I call you MJ?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're a veteran of this group, aren't you? You've played with
Xavier Rudd.
To Buckwheat Zydeco. To G Love and Special Sauce. Really?
Those are Vancouver Reggae Festival.
Is that right? That is, I really smiled at that one because, I mean, from Buckwheat Zydeco to G Love and Special Sauce, I mean, that's quite a big range. Can you describe to me where you fit in the context of the rest of these ladies?
Well, I think because I'm so different, I fit really perfectly. The thing is, like, it's really, I think it's great when you're hearing a style of music and you hear this totally different, it's like you're cooking and you add this spice that you're not familiar with, but it really makes the dish really different and exotic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I am.
You're the exotic spice.
You're special spice.
And then it just makes it really interesting, and people are, they love different things. They love, you know, and variety of sound. And
yeah, I also read that you are on the other side of the mic as well. You're involved with recording, engineering, and that sort of thing. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, our first album I recorded into this secret little studio that we kind of snuck in, and I do lots of recordings here and there with other projects.
Mm-hmm. Where does your heart lie?
Well, I started in the studio, and that was the path that I wanted to take, and I think knowing about sound makes the touring also easy when I'm touring with the girls, because not all places have their own sound person or sound. And so it's a good asset into
working. So that responsibility falls to you, happily.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and it's great because I know about it, and I love sound, and I love doing sound and, you know, troubleshooting and geeking it out. But yeah, that's me.
Wow. You know, one thing that I was really, really impressed by, actually, with all you guys, is your tie to cultural things. You, MJ, have developed a workshop that involves First Nations youth so they can explore their own art and their music.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big project. What made you take that on?
It's my love of my own culture. I'm so proud of being Métis and French. And I know while we were going up north with Oh My Darling on tour, and a French school asked us if we could do a workshop. So I sat down with my dad and we put this workshop to present
the kids about learning how to be a voyageur and what does that mean. And, you know, like kids, they don't know. So you bring all those props. And the girls did amazing. We had the ramadon and like the canoes and we dressed up some kids all like with the moccasins and the shirts and the toques and it teaches them, like, kids learn visually, so they need to see a bit of the material, and I think it's also a way of us sharing each of our cultures between us in the band and learning about them and getting inspired by playing Roslyn's now composing and these Métis jigs. And
do you think there were those kind of opportunities for you as a youth with your music?
Not in my early age, like in high school. And I think that's why I kind of embarked into it, because I was like, what did I miss in my young age about learning about my culture that I would want to share with the kids these days? And I think that's what kind of pushed me into doing that and sharing and also teaching the kids. There are these different types of sharing the culture or different types of language in the arts, you know?
Vanessa, you have an album called Peony.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that. That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, when did you write that?
I started writing that, I guess, when I started writing songs as a teenager and put all those songs together. I had the opportunity to work with a great producer named Dan Donahue in Winnipeg, and we recorded the 10 songs there. So it was a collection of songs that I guess I had over 10 years and chose 10 of them.
So you've been a songwriter most of your life, all of your life?
Oh, I guess I remember writing a lot of poetry as a kid.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
But I started playing music. I was a flute player.
No, really?
Yeah. When I was 9, I started playing the flute, but that didn't really allow me to combine the writing and the music at the same time. And I was playing flute and I was starting to hear other melodies and things at the same time and wasn't really able to do both. So I started playing guitar when I was about 14 or 15, I guess. And that's when I started singing and writing songs.
Do you ever pick up the flute?
Every blue moon, I'll pick up the flute again.
Is that right? You're basically the spokesperson of the group.
Yeah, I mean, we all definitely speak on behalf of the group.
Yeah, it seems to go to you.
I love talking with people and meeting new people and sharing stories. And it's one of my favorite parts about the shows and about interviews is kind of getting to share those stories. I guess my tradition in some ways, you know, we talk about the community and sharing stories, and I guess that's the way I get to do that.
Mm. I thought it was just because you had the nicest radio voice.
I know, she's got a fantastic voice. Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you do.
Can you tell me, has there ever been a situation where you are speaking on behalf of and you've been actually left speechless?
Oh, have I ever been left speechless?
Not that I've ever.
You know, one thing I've been dying to ask you, can you tell me about this performance at a beard contest?
Oh, yes. Winnipeg has a festival called Festival du Voyageur, and it's a festival that happens in February, and it celebrates the Francophone and Métis culture that thrives in Manitoba. And every year there is a beard growing contest, and this year, Oh My Darling had the great pleasure of performing at the contest.
It's really great.
We weren't participating in the contest.
But there's three categories. It's like the wild and woolly. And there's the clean cut, which is like they shave their beard on November 7th, and then they have to let it grow. And then the third one is the voyageur. So it's the, oh, no. The third one,
artistic marriage.
Yeah, that's it.
Artistic?
And it was amazing.
Really?
Now, it made me want to have one.
Oh, no. Like, what is your preference?
I like the wild and woolly ones.
You do? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Those are always my favorite.
Is that right? Wow, wild and woolly.
I don't know. They're always kind of crazy people. And
what do you like, Allison?
Yes, Allison.
I'll go with the artistic.
Oh,
the
artistic. That's what I was going to say to you.
Oh, is that right? Roslyn? You're more of that artsy kind. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the radio moment that has left me speechless. It's right now. That just happened.
I have no comment.
Okay. So let's talk about your album a little bit here. It's called Sweet Nostalgia. It was recorded in a straw bale house. Mm-hmm. You're kidding me.
I think one of the big reasons we went there was because we really wanted a place that we could leave the city behind and just focus for 7 days on this project that we were recording. And, you know, we wanted a place that we could stretch out and really breathe and let the music breathe as well. Mm-hmm. So we, over 7 days, set up and really fell into the mood of the beautiful Pembina Valley around us.
You had Steve Dawson producing your album. How did you guys get him?
Well, Allison and I had met him when we were at the Western Canadian Music Awards in 2009, I think it was. Mm-hmm. We met him there, and it was, I don't know, we were like giddy high school girls. Like, we both just kind of, we respected his music a whole bunch, especially his instrumentalist, his stuff with the Zubat and Dawson stuff. Yeah. It was just a huge inspiration. So, we were a little starstruck. And then, he was a name that came up pretty fast for us when we started thinking about who would be a good good producer for this album. And he agreed to do it.
So. He did, eh? When you started recording your album, did you intend to follow a certain direction with it, or did it just sort of unfold as you went about recording?
I feel like we had a pretty strong idea of the kind of album that we wanted to make before we went in there. We had already kind of come up with the idea of the Sweet Nostalgia, which is the title of the album, and this kind of idea of, you know, looking into our past, how we do that, you know, musically. And
this song on your album, Mr. Guy, the instrumental, is that your influence on there, isn't it, Roslyn?
There's a little bit of Roslyn influence on that one, yes.
Yeah, it sounded kind of Celtic or something to me.
Yeah, although I think the most Celtic song is the one that Allison wrote in the middle. I would say that's like, that's
which
the
one
most
is
Celtic
that?
Sounding to me.
It's a medley of three tunes, and the first one Roslyn and I wrote together actually quite a while ago. I think it was the first, tune that we'd ever written together.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the songs that I really, really love is that Kiss and Tell. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, it's got some attitude in it.
It's a little sassy.
It is very sassy, and I think I can understand why now. I understand that you guys actually had a Sweet Nostalgia Brown, your own beer crafted for your CD release party. Is that right?
Yeah.
You did. And what did it taste like?
It was really good.
So good.
I didn't get any.
Oh, you did?
It was all sold out by the time we finished.
Oh, is that right? Are they going to make some more?
No, it was a special keg just for us for a CD release.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're called Half Pints Brewery, and they're a Winnipeg family-owned and operated craft brewery. And they took one of their beers that they produce regularly and then added a bunch of Sweet Nostalgia spices.
You know, I have never heard of anyone doing that before. I thought, oh, good on you guys. What a great idea.
We were very lucky.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. I bet you that was a huge hit with your audience.
Oh, it sold out before the first set was done.
Oh, is that right? You've done a fair bit of touring. You were in Europe. Was it last year you did? Mm-hmm. I read there's like 52 dates in, what?
60 days.
60 days? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
It's okay. This one's 22 dates in 23 days.
Oh, gosh.
Days.
And you have MJ to thank for that?
Yep, that's right. Blame it on MJ.
Yeah. Oh, I write them hard.
Oh, no kidding. So how did you fare with that? Did it Europe embrace you, embrace your music?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Amazing.
What was a highlight from that tour?
I would say, I mean, first off, it was a huge shock to go there and have fans that were there. We didn't expect that whatsoever. So, you know, showing up and having people like waiting for you outside your gig to sign things.
Really?
Pictures that they've printed at home.
Yeah, like all these.
And we're like, where did you find that picture? And it's like, hi, Rez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They went all out. But they were serious fans. And that was really amazing to find there. All the shows went really well. But it kind of all culminated at the end of the tour when we played on Trafalgar Square on Canada Day in London.
So being that you girls tour an awful lot, thanks to MJ cracking the whip on everybody, you have to live out of a suitcase. How do you find that? What good strategies do you have for living out of a suitcase? Because I couldn't do it. How do you guys do it? What do you do?
Oh, if you saw the size of our suitcases,
dude. Oh, really?
They're the tiniest suitcases ever.
It's like carry-on suitcase. Yeah, but it's carry-ons. I'm pretty proud because when we first started, like 4 years ago, it was like the massive, huge suitcase.
Really?
And then in Europe, I was like, girls, we need to downsize. We need to like shrink this. But the thing is, it's really easy if you do it because for musicians especially, you play into a different place every night.
Yeah.
So you could wear the same thing. Right? Like, and then you do laundry once a week.
Yeah, you got these little packages that you can do laundry in the sink.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those are really helpful.
But like makeup, shoes.
Yeah. Shoes.
Well, less is more. Yeah, less is more.
The less options we have to choose from, the better.
The better, and, yeah.
A good pair of boots goes a long way.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Invest on good boots and a good outfit, like stage outfit. Well, a couple, like two or three, whatever. Except
the mix and match.
Yeah, mix and match. And then, totally.
My newest strategy that I came up with, and this is what saved me, is the van outfit.
Oh, the van outfit.
Oh, yeah, keep the van outfit.
You keep the van outfit for the van. Van. And then everything else is stage wear, you know.
And then you have your PJ. Yeah,
please tell me, what is your van outfit?
My van outfit is a red plaid flannel shirt and tights. That's my
attractive.
It's hot. It's really, you should see me at the gas station.
Oh, is that right?
It's a big hit.
With bedhead and Allison, what's your van outfit?
Pants and a sweater.
Oh, okay. You're pretty low-key. Yeah. Bunny slippers, anything like that?
No, I wish.
No bunny slippers.
You wear a lot of tights too.
Yeah. Hey? I brought a pair of pants on this trip.
Not so much. We're switching things up now.
Yeah. I guess tights, though, you can roll them up. You know,
Yeah.
So do you guys have any road stories that you can share with us?
Well, I have one.
Mm-hmm.
The one with like me forgetting my bass. Okay, so imagine you're traveling and the biggest part or biggest piece of luggage you have is an upright bass. And so we were in Coquitlam. BC, just finished a festival and we're gearing up, ready to leave the lobby of the hotel room, close the doors, and here we go, driving to Kelowna. And we get to Kelowna, to where we're staying, and I open the back, and I see, I'm like, God, there's so much room in this van. And I'm like, oh, man, I forgot my bass. So I forgot my bass in the lobby. Oh. And thank God Allison had her mom's friend was a flight attendant for Air Canada. So that night, we flew with the big case to Vancouver. I got a taxi driver to pick up my bass from Coquitlam to drive it to the airport. And then we have literally like 5 minutes to grab the bass, put it like fold it aside, put it in the case, get back onto the plane to get back to the gig.
Oh,
you're
kidding.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
But it worked.
It worked.
Thanks, Air Canada.
I couldn't imagine forgetting that. Your heart just must have dropped to your feet.
I was just so like, just determined. I'm like, okay, what's the plan? Don't freak out. What's the plan? Think. Okay, this is a strategy. Go.
Now, you guys have played together. You've played with other groups, other bands. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How is it different playing in a group with all women as opposed to playing in a group with women and men?
Well, I think for us, you know, we started off not knowing each other very well, and we all became really fast friends. And then over these past 4 years, we've gone through a lot of real life experience together, you know, ups and downs and all around. And that has made our friendship turn into, I think we would call it a sisterhood. We spend a lot of time together, and we really, you know, support one another in all the ways that are important. So I think for me, that's how I would say what would make it different to be in an all-female band as compared to a mixed band. But I think it also, I can really only speak for our group, and that's how our group works.
So what would you like to tell people about Oh My Darling?
We have a lot of fun together. You know, we've gone through a lot of life together, and we are always excited to get back on the road. one more time. And always looking forward to the next challenge, to the next opportunity, and to the next place we're going to go to, too.
I think our style of music, we're so diverse. That makes every time people come to our show, they're just like, I've never heard this again. Like, I've never heard this.
Yeah.
This is so brand new. This is so just out of the blue, but so great. So it's really great to hear that from people saying, because it's not traditional, but it's...
You're introducing something new. Would you girls play a song for us?
Yeah. We would love to.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, My Darling is all set up. We are in for some kind of treat because not only did we spirit them away to this secret location for an interview, they've agreed to play a song for us called Roustabout and are going to play it for us right now. And it is on their album, Sweet Nostalgia. Thank you, girls.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Oh, My Darling. We have Vanessa, and we have Marie Josie, and we have Allison, and we have Roslyn. Oh, My Darling. Thank you so much.
Thank you.